You're listening to the My SBA Loan Pro podcast, hosted by Ryan Smith, principal broker and founder of Think SBA, a one-of-a-kind loan brokerage serving small business owners and entrepreneurs in their quest to purchase real estate, acquire a business or franchise, or obtain working capital. In each episode, Ryan reveals valuable insights and best practices regarding the SBA loan program and application process. Let's get started.
Hey there, everybody. This is Ryan Smith, principal and founder of Think SBA, and welcome to another episode of the My SBA Loan Pro podcast, Face to Face. I'm here today with Saul Rosenbaum. Saul, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Saul is a mechanical engineer with 22 years of experience in the energy engineering field. He has operated his own engineering firm for the last 15 years called SR Engineering and Consulting. His firm provides services at the intersection of the energy engineering and commercial real estate financing worlds with engineering review of various due diligence reports and engineering support for various green loan programs and certifications. The reason I have Saul on the program today is I want him to specifically speak about the assessments he prepares for business owners who are buying owner-occupied real estate through the SBA 504 program. Saul, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to this point in your career.
Excellent. Well, right out of engineering school, I went into the energy efficiency world, and perhaps it was a little bit of naivety that I didn't really look into it. I actually expected to be working for a firm that was designing HVAC systems, that was working on various building components. But it turned out that all of that was within the broader energy efficiency, you know, scope. And so all of these things were, how can we save energy? How can we help them in the long run with lower their costs and their ROI? And I think that was sort of my first entry into the whole commercial real estate world without really knowing it. But I worked on very large energy savings performance contracts for federal facilities. I then went into business development for a utility company. And it was after that that I opened my own firm, doing a lot of energy audits at the beginning, working on a smaller scale with some of those energy efficiency projects, and then slowly morphed into the due diligence world, which led me to where I am today, working with building owners on various due diligence assessments, various green loan programs, and as you said, specifically the 504 green program.
What qualifies you from an SBA perspective to prepare and provide these assessments to business owners and for SBA 504 loans?
Right. What's actually interesting is I've read through the SOP that the SBA puts out for this program, and there's actually no I have not seen that there's a specific qualification one needs to have. I believe it comes really from experience. I do have the engineering degrees. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the multiple states. I'm a certified energy manager. So I think if you want specific qualifications, these types of programs would generally fall under one of those. But I think a lot of it comes from the experience of understanding the buildings, understanding the systems, and then helping them sort of match that up with the program requirements. And as long as you are hitting all of the, you know, bullet points that the SBA wants to see, they know that you're doing a full engineering analysis, you're not just throwing out random numbers to help that client along, they're okay and they're going to start to approve your reports.
So talk to us about what the SBA is looking for in your report from a high level.
Okay. So they're really looking for two things. Number one, is the baseline that we are using to calculate any savings, you know, a fair assessment? If you're talking about an existing building, then they want to know, did we take enough of the historical data, you know, all of the energy usage from the past, you know, 12 to 24 months, and are we looking at a real picture of the property? If we are talking about a to-be-constructed building, they want to know that the energy modeling that we're using to estimate their usage takes everything into account. Once we have that, then, you know, I'm sure we'll get into the pathways that you have for compliance. They want to know, okay, how did you come up with these calculations? And so what we do in our reports is we're very open with, here are the variables that we use. This is how we came up with our numbers. And there's definitely a lot of transparency. You know, I think we had one report that came back from the SBA just because it was a unique situation. They said, hey, we'd also like you to add this into the consideration. But otherwise, we've never had a problem with them accepting what we've all of our engineering calculations that we've submitted to them.
Got it. Thank you. And so what I'm going to do right now is just take it back a notch and explain to the audience that what Sol allows you to do is unlock additional SBA guarantee funds through the SBA 504 guarantee program. What does that mean? Let's just use an example I'm currently working on. I have a business owner who currently has $5 million in SBA loans. He cannot obtain any more SBA guaranteed funds through the SBA 7A program. However, he's now been presented with the opportunity to buy owner-occupied commercial real estate for $4 million. And his question to me was, hey, Ryan, can I use an SBA 504 loan? And I said, yes, we can through the SBA Green program. And I'm going to simplify it and I'm going to ask Sol to explain it in depth. But as far as I know, what the SBA allows is for a business owner to extend their SBA guarantee portion up to approximately $15 million in three tranches via improving the energy efficiency of a property that they will either build or buy. Now, Sol, you go deeper than that.
Right, absolutely. I think the first part that's really important to highlight is that there is no advantage when it comes to the terms of your loan of a standard 504 versus the 504 green. The only reason one would do it is, as you mentioned, to sort of extend the funding. It does go a little bit higher than you mentioned. You said 15 million. It actually goes to 16.5 million in total, and it's a maximum of $5.5 million per loan. Until the end of last year, it was generally understood and interpreted by the SBA that you could only do three loans, each up to $5.5 million to hit that total 16.5. They've actually changed the way they approach that, and you now can have, you know, multiple loans. You can have 7, 8 loans, whatever you want, as long as in aggregate they're under that 16.5 and no single one is more than $5.5 million. And I think, you know, what we used to see, because people were seeing it as three additional loans of $5.5 million each, it was predominantly larger projects. And so you see a lot of hotels. We had a childcare facility where they're adding a building last year. An indoor trampoline park that used this as well. So it was always bigger facilities. We're talking 50, 60,000 square foot facilities. Now that they sort of reinterpreted, you know, that you can have, you know, a whole bunch of loans instead of just the three, then you do see some smaller places. We had a restaurant that used it. You know, it was a 4,500 or 5,000 square foot facility that is certainly a much smaller project than a 5-story hotel. So I think that's one of the changes we're going to see, you know, throughout this year, that smaller projects, once somebody hit their $5 million limit, they're just going to start to stack on some of these smaller projects using the 504 green program.
That's great. So what I want to do now is really talk about the process and mechanics of this assessment. The first question is, who engages you? How can people find you and engage you?
Okay. So what's actually interesting about this program is that I often get engaged for multiple sides of the deal. Anyone who's involved in the deal can bring me in from the CDC, which is probably the biggest single the division that brings me in. But I've also worked with brokers as well as the bank who's actually giving the other part of the SBA loan. And much less common, but it can be the borrower themselves who says, oh, I know a guy who can provide this for me. But really what it comes down to is this is another part of the documentation that goes into their submittal to the SBA. So anyone who's dealing with that can bring me in and help me with the data. When it comes to who actually provides a lot of the documentation that we will need for the deal, that usually comes from the borrower themselves.
That's great. And that's exactly where I was going to go next. So once you're engaged, you just don't go off, do your thing, and come back and magically provide an assessment. Tell us about that process. Who provides you the data? Where do you go to research data?
Okay, so there's two sides. If we're talking about the energy efficiency pathway, then we have to know, you're assuming this is an existing building. So I have to know, okay, what are the particulars of the building? If they have a prior property condition assessment, offering memorandum, those can be helpful documentation. We also have an internal pre-survey questionnaire that we send out and kind of detail a lot of the envelope structure details, a lot of the HVAC systems, and other mechanical portions. So it's just that would come directly from the client. If you're talking about a building that's going to be constructed, either the architect or the mechanical contractor usually sends us the complete set of pre-construction drawings, and we can do our analysis based off of the all the blueprints.
Got it. And once you complete your analysis, what are you recommending? How are they improving the efficiency, the energy efficiency of these buildings? What is the real world impact? And if you can provide us an estimated cost that you've seen on the various projects that you've worked on.
Most people are going to be doing the renewable source, and that's going to be solar. It's very rare that you have anybody who decides to put wind turbines or do some hydroelectric system in their building. So you're talking about solar. In a recent project, it was a four-story hotel. They had to, I believe the final calculation came out to about a 100 kilowatt system. And we were talking in the range, it was trying to pull those numbers. It was like $260,000 to $300,000 was the additional investment for the solar panels to then, and the whole system to then allow them to get this extra funding. What doesn't actually get pulled into all of our calculations, because it's not really crucial here, is that they're also going to save money on their electric bill. They're getting something, you know, obviously that renewable system is going to provide electric either directly to the building or be sent off the grid, depending on how they structure that. So there will be additional savings there. The ROI will depend on what their electric rate is and what the deal is that they get for installing these systems. But that's actually not included in our metric specifically. It's just an added bonus that they would get off to the side.
Got it. So you're not really including what the return on investment is. What you're focusing in on is how do you improve the energy efficiency? You're collecting the data, you're providing the data, and then you're providing this assessment. Once you provide the assessment, what's your process? Who do you work with to make sure that your assessment is received and approved or accepted by the SBA?
Right. So what we do is we send, once we, you know, we collect all the data from the field, any of that documentation that we need, we do our engineering assessment. We then design a solar system or make energy efficiency recommendations, which is, we should discuss that as well, the two pathways. But once we submit that report to the SBA, or actually we submit it into the client, they send it in with all of their paperwork. We actually generally don't hear back from the SBA specifically, unless there was an issue, which means we just generally don't hear back from them at all. We do sometimes get involved with the mechanical contractor who the client is then hiring to implement some of the work. One of the specific items that the SBA requires is a separate engineering analysis, which is us, from the installer, the mechanical contractor, because I think they want to be a third party, you know, removed from the actual sale of the system. And so there are times where I'll be on the call with the mechanical contractor, with the borrower, just to kind of make sure that everything that they are recommending or that they have given in their quote meets what we've outlined in our report.
Saul, thank you for sharing that. Can you share with us now what those two pathways are so that the audience understands that?
Absolutely. So the first one is the energy efficiency pathway. And effectively, we have to make recommendations that will show a 10% savings of energy on a per square foot basis. Now, the caveat here is that you have to be going from a property's existing facility to either a new facility that's replacing what you have right now. You could be renting a facility that you are now purchasing. So it's a little bit of more of a nuanced or more of a niche type of product. If you're just coming in and buying a new building or someone who's buying a new hotel, that's not going to work under the energy efficiency plan. The second pathway, which is the one that's more often used, is the renewable pathway. And with this, on that pathway, you have to have 15% of the energy usage of the property generated by that renewable system. And as I mentioned, it's, you know, we only deal with solar. So if somebody wants to do something outside of solar, they're allowed to. It's just not very common because, especially, you know, you take a regular building, they're not going to have access to hydroelectric. Geothermal might work in certain places. That's possible. I don't know if your neighbors want you putting up a big wind turbine, but putting solar panels is very accessible. The prices have really come down a lot over the past few years. So that's, while the SOP allows for any renewable, when people go this pathway, they are generally assuming they are going solar.
Got it. And I concur with that. That's typically what I see, almost to the point where I assume that's the only option. But like you said, there are many options, but practically speaking, it is typically solar. Talk to us about geography. What are you seeing? I mean, are you doing these in Kansas, or would I be more expecting you to do these in Florida, California, places that have a lot of sun?
Right. I mean, certainly if you're in a sunnier environment, it's going to, you know, you can have a smaller system that will generate more power, so that you do have the advantages there. But we are working on a project right now in Spokane, Washington. We had one actually that was in, we had a few in Florida recently. I'm trying to remember where. I remember it was a Davenport hotel, but I forget where it was. But it was also like sort of out there. So we do see all over the country. We had a couple in Connecticut. I think a lot of it just has to do with, you know, the same places where you see a lot of just general development in the bigger metro areas. That's where you're going to see more of these projects. It doesn't seem to really go by who might have the better environment for solar versus another one.
Got it. And I heard you say something that triggered another question here. Would it cost someone more technically in hardware where there is less sunlight as opposed to a region where there is more sunlight?
Yes, it would. And I think, you know, you also have issues where if there's shading around the building, you could have some issues there. For example, we actually had a property now who, it's a hotel. They want to put the system on the roof, but they're also going to have carports in the parking area. And they said, you know, we'd like to have some of it lower down, easier accessible for accessibility. It's easier for the installation to have it right there. And we basically put in some caveats into the report stating that, okay, it needs to be on the southern side of the building where there's no shading. They should not put up trees on that side in the landscaping. And those are concerns that you don't have with a hotel, a four or five story hotel that has parking areas all around it. There's no shading on the roof. So the truth is those come in just as much as the location. So it does matter. But honestly, in the bigger picture, you're not talking about this huge, huge difference. The bigger problem comes in play when you have a building that has a small footprint and then you have no roof space. And then you have to say, okay, well, what else do we have and where can we put this system? That could be a potential problem.
That's a great thing to bring up. And that leads me to my next question. How often do you experience where you have been hired and there may be an issue with the roof that needs to be corrected before the solar can go on?
Right. So there's two issues. First of all, there's the structural issue, just to make sure that it can hold up. And that's something that the structural engineers will just double check and the solar contractor will check to make sure it can be placed there. There have been times where the angle that we want to put the system at, you always want to face due south. That's just, but you also have a building line. You don't want all your solar panels going at some weird angle. So you sort of have to work with both of those too, and, you know, sort of do the best that you can. So there have been times where we've changed the panel type that we've used so that we can use fewer panels and avoid some of these issues where you have a HVAC exhaust fan coming up, or they want to put the roof access in a place that would be right in the way of the solar array. So you do have to adjust those things, but for the most part, we don't run into problems in that area.
Got it. And how long does it take you to prepare and deliver the report?
So our commitment is 7 days, you know, 5 business days. We have turned them around in 2-3 days. Honestly, it depends on, once we get the information, we can start rolling. And I think that it's important also for clients to let us know early on in the process that, hey, this is something we're going to be doing, because then I can, you know, block out time for one of my engineers say, okay, hey, next Wednesday, this is what you're working on all day long. So sometimes we could turn around faster, but the commitment is within 7 days, and we have yet to miss that commitment.
And the reason I ask that, Saul, as you can understand, when I am working with a business owner, the first thing they ask me is, Ryan, how long is this going to take? So I share with them the timeline from the bank, and then we have to order appraisal. We typically have to order at minimum a transaction screen or a phase one. And then in this process, we have to order the green assessment. So what I could tell them then is that, hey, this assessment takes 1 week. It's likely that the phase one is going to take longer. It's also likely, extremely likely, that the appraisal will take longer. So this is not going to extend the life of the loan application process.
Right. It should not. And I think also, you know, things are a lot of moving parts. Things are moving quickly. If you tell me specifically, hey, we need this in 3 days, we can often work that out. I just don't necessarily want to commit to that on every deal, because then, you know, my engineers will probably all hate me.
Absolutely. And we will not say that you can do that on every deal. Has there ever been a time, Saul, where you've been engaged and you started down the road and you said, hey guys, I don't even think that this is viable. Sorry.
Not for the 504 program. No, they've all come out and been totally fine. I have seen there are other green loan programs that we work with, you know, for example, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac program. And I always tell people, I'm like, I can always make you qualify under the program rules. It just may not be financially reasonable to do so. And so, yes, there are always, any of these programs are going to have, you know, some ups and downs in them. But specifically with the 504 program, we have not had any issues. And I think that's because the level, you know, the 15% energy generation is fairly reasonable. And you're also dealing with properties that have open space on the roof to be able to accommodate these systems. And so you don't really run into situations where you start going down that road and you're like, oh, wait, this is not going to work.
Got it. And this just came to mind. Have you run into any impediments with municipalities, and or on the other end of the spectrum, have there been other, I would say, incentives from local authorities to have the solar panels put on?
Right. So I personally have not run into issues with different municipalities. Where that comes into play is if you're looking at it from an ROI standpoint. There are different municipalities and different utilities that allow net metering. Some of them don't. And so what the deal is with the utility company certainly affects the ROI, but it won't necessarily affect what we would be doing. In terms of other programs, that's actually a good question, because I know, like I had mentioned, the Fannie and Freddie Mac program, people make agreements for what they're going to install from a green standpoint, but they don't care how you fund it. And so if there's a local municipal program that says, oh, sure, we'll give you 25% of the bill, they're totally cool with that. I'd actually have to double check that. It's a good question whether the SBA cares who pays for it. I have a feeling that they probably do not, because what they want to do is say, hey, you need to put this system on the roof. This is what you've agreed to, the 15% generation. How you actually fund that probably doesn't matter to them all that much, but that is something that I will check into.
So I know that the SBA can finance those improvements into the loan. But what you said there actually was amazing, and I don't think that the SBA would disqualify outside funds coming into the project. That's something maybe we should look up, and I'll look that up. You can look that up, Saul, and then what we can do is we can put that in the episode notes so that if someone gets to this point, they have that question themselves, they can read the episode notes. Wow. This is amazing. I know the audience is going to love this. Right now, I am working on several 504s. And in fact, I have an individual business owner in the Northwest. He owns daycares, and he now has the opportunity to buy two daycares and both of the buildings that they operate from. What I'd like to do now, Saul, is have you share a couple of case studies with us. What I've heard so far is that you're industry agnostic. Hey, what you're doing right now really is putting solar on buildings. You're improving the energy efficiency, and you're allowing business owners to expand upon their SBA guarantee. Love to hear some case studies from you.
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the reasons I, you know, brought this service line into my firm was because it's coming at things from a different angle. It is industry agnostic, but we are working with businesses that are investing in their own business as opposed to a lot of the other programs, which are individuals who are investing in a multifamily property. They're an investor in that. So it comes at it from a different angle. Now, you mentioned childcare facilities. So I think one of the interesting projects we had last year was in Connecticut. They basically had two small buildings, and they were adding a third building that connected the two of them. Now, normally this would just be a new construction building. So we run an energy model, we design the solar system, and we put that all together, and that's all. But what made this situation unique is the SBA said, because you are now combining all three of them into one facility, we need to adjust it and take into account that this is now considered one new facility as opposed to one new section. And so we kind of went back and added in the existing usage as part of the baseline and set up the solar system. And so now the solar system had to provide 15% of the energy for the new combined, you know, two smaller and one larger buildings. The other interesting cases we get into are people who use the energy efficiency pathway. And what you run into sometimes is that if you're doing a major renovation, I always tell people, you know, don't start adding in new projects. Tell us everything that you're doing with your renovation. What does the whole project entail? Because what we've found is that while replacing your windows from an ROI standpoint may not be the greatest project, if you're doing that anyway, and then you're also replacing the roof and increasing the insulation, right there, you might hit the 10% reduction. And so all you really need is an engineering firm like mine to come in, really document, do the engineer analysis and say, hey, here's what they are using now. Here are all the calculations that shows the reduction in energy. And then you're set to go. So you're really doing nothing extra except for our reporting, which is, it's one of those unique cases. It's not, you don't always have that. Sometimes we do have to tell them, oh, change this system instead of what you had planned. But very often, you can get a 10% reduction just by doing what you wanted to do anyway.
Got it. Yeah, that's fascinating. I didn't even think of that. What I want to do now, Saul, is give you the opportunity to speak directly to the business owner. And what I mean by saying that is, so in my business, I speak with business owners all the time, and I like to prep them for the process. Like, be ready for this, watch out for this. These are potential landmines in the process that we're going to prepare for so they don't derail the process. What do you say to the business owner in preparation for the process? And what are some potential landmines that you would have to mitigate that may derail the process? If you could share that with the audience, that'd be great.
Right. So I think the most important thing is to have your documentation ready. And this way, you can send me the drawings, send me the information about your building initially, and we do that. At this point, I would tell them, don't reach out to the solar contractor yet, because you really don't know what you need. And that's why I like to get the information back to the client. It helps temper those expectations and say, hey, this is the size system that we're going to need. If you go to that solar contractor initially and just say, hey, I want to put some solar panels up there, how much will that cost? You might be getting ahead of yourself and setting yourself for a system that is way too big, undersized. And then I end up with a client who's upset. They go, oh, the solar contractor said, I only need this. I'm like, that's great. I'm not going to argue with them about the details of the solar system, how you're connecting it. That's their expertise. But when it comes to the energy efficiency, energy modeling side of things and compliance with the program, that's the part that I understand. And their system just simply isn't going to cut it. So that's I think the biggest pitfall you could have, where you're not tempering your expectations properly because you're going in the wrong direction or the wrong order of the projects.
Got it. And I think what everyone wants to know is, how did you get the moniker, the green guy? That's what everybody wants to know.
I don't know. I just kind of came up with something because, you know, it's a weird industry. I once went to a sustainability conference, and I'm sitting there amongst these people, and they're all talking about, you know, it was more of like a rah, rah, let's go green, let's become sustainable. And I really respect what they're trying to do, But I said, all of what you're talking about, that doesn't talk to my my people. The people that I deal with are commercial real estate folks. They're investing either in a property, they're investing in their business through that property. To them, it's all about ROI or the capital that it helps them achieve. And that's the language that I like to speak to those people. And so I like to sort of bridge the gap between engineering and the mortgage finance world. And I just picked it up. You know, you're a green guy in the commercial real estate space, so that they know, hey, yes, I'm on the green side, I'm on the engineering side, but I also understand where you're coming from. It's not just this disconnect between the two worlds.
Got it. I want to give you the opportunity now to share anything with the audience that I haven't asked you explicitly yet, and then share with us how we can get in touch with you.
Right. Well, I think we covered everything, but certainly I have a very, you know, open networking attitude. Anyone who wants to reach out to me about these projects, if they want just general information, I'm happy to be a resource and talk to them about it. If you're involved in the 504 world, or if you're involved in other green programs, like you mentioned, I deal with the certifications, a lot of Energy Star work, Fannie, Freddie projects, and then engineering review of various property condition assessments. People can reach out to me via email, sol@srengineeringandconsulting.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn, where I'd say fairly active.
Yeah, well, Saul, I really appreciate you reaching out to me. This has been fantastic and fascinating. I do expect that this will be one of the most watched episodes amongst business owners. Again, as I shared with you, 504s are hot right now. Why is that? Well, the 7A is high. It's anywhere between 10 and 11.25%. And if someone does qualify for the 504 program, we're seeing interest rates as low as in the 6% blended between the first trust deed and the SBA debenture. So thank you so much for your time, Saul. You have a great day, and I'll let you know when this episode has been posted.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I look forward to keeping the discussion going.
Thank you for listening to the My SBA Loan Pro podcast. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review. But most importantly, we hope you'll use this information to start your SBA loan journey today by texting or calling us at 858-762-2774 or completing our online application at mysba.pro/app. That's mysba.pro/app. We look forward to working with you.